give for that wonderful phrase, to hear those three little words. That's all I'd live for the rest of my days.
Patricia T. O'Connor is here, the author of any number of books that have three-word titles, although the new one, four words?
Yes.
Well, you know, maybe we have to find a new song, little words.
You could mush together the preposition and the article.
Okay, yeah. We'll mush it together. We will be taking calls later, as we usually do, on the vagaries of our language here, because people love to talk about the language. But the last time you were here, we invited our listeners to enter photographs of signs that they saw that were that misused the language one way or another. And we got how many entries?
Well, it depends on how you count them. It's around 200.
Wow.
Probably, yeah.
Were there that many bad signs?
Oh, yeah. Actually, a lot of those signs were entered twice by different people. I mean, you know, different people noticed the same sign and photographed it.
I was walking down Atlantic Avenue a couple of weeks ago, and I noticed a sign that was totally ungrammatical in a restaurant window. They had closed for renovations, and the sign was crazy. Mm-hmm. And a guy came along and took a picture, and I thought, another
maybe
entrance.
Maybe it did show up. Yeah. We had one sign that was taken in on Hicks Street in Brooklyn by two separate people.
Mm-hmm.
It was different photographs, different angles, but they both said, crub your dog.
Crub your dog?
C-R-U-B, crub. Instead of curb, crub your dog. So
we have to wonder what crubbing is.
Yeah, I know.
We will invite listeners to call us because we're going to intersperse regular calls with our winners, and we're going to go to our grand prize winner first.
Mm-hmm.
But reminder that you can call us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also leave a comment. Just go to our show page at WNYC.org. And let's go to our top winner. What's your name, Leonard?
Yes.
Leonard,
how did you wind up with a name like Leonard?
Yes.
I admired you so much, my father did. I don't know which.
I see. Named after me, well.
Actually, I doubt him. Probably your age. So.
Well, actually, Leonard Lauder once came up to me at a party, and he said, you can tell when people were born partly by their names. He said, you and I are old guys. Anyway, what was your sign?
Well, I was walking by a tailor shop on 29th Street, and there was a sign in the window that said, women custom made.
What do you think it meant?
I assume it meant
many men would love
women,
to go there. What?
I assume it meant custom tailoring, but
you never know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's
bionic women and whatnot.
I was actually on the way to my doctor, and she saw it. I told her, I showed her the picture when I first snapped it, and she said, did you make an order?
Well, then you wouldn't have to see the doctor anymore.
Right.
So, you know, you are the winner of an Art Spiegelman 25th anniversary T-shirt. Is that okay?
That sounds wonderful.
I'm going to put you on hold, and you can tell him what size.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I don't want to embarrass you if it's extra, extra large or something like that. Although, and we don't have them custom made. Okay, let's go to, put him on hold, and go to another prize winner, I guess the second honorable mention. John, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
John, you thought you should win, right?
Of course. No, the entries were terrific. I was following them online.
And what was yours?
Well, mine was in a beauty parlor in Richmond Hill. My wife and I my late wife, unfortunately, had great fun collecting these signs. And the sign in the beauty parlor said, ears pierced while you wait. So I said to
my wife, I guess there's
no
other way it could be done, right?
That's so convenient.
Yeah, I said to my wife, if you lend me your ears, I'll have them pierced.
I must say, I'm very fond of this sign of ears pierced while you wait. And right after this contest was announced, I got an email from another listener who said, "Unfortunately, I once saw a sign in a jeweler's window that said, 'Ears pierced while you wait.' Unfortunately, they're out of business, so I can't take the picture." Mm-hmm. And then John comes along and sends it in. But it's
well, it may be a different while you wait service.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But the only reason this is an honorable mention instead of the winner is because it turns out these signs are everywhere. I checked on the internet, and they're quite common, and they're the subject of a lot of jokes. But I still think it's wonderful, and that's why I wanted him to get honorable mention.
And John, thank you so much. You also get a T-shirt.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, or try to put you on hold anyway. It worked. Okay. Again, our number here is 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. There was some concern from a few listeners that we'd be making fun of immigrants by doing this, because mm-hmm. many of the misspellings and the mistakes are from people who don't have a firm grasp of the language. But
sure.
both of those signs were obviously just people who didn't think
exactly.
it through.
Exactly. And to tell you the truth, I pretty much ruled out the signs in, say, Chinese restaurant windows, and on
some
bodegas.
Some can be very funny,
right, but it's really not fair because, I mean, my Chinese is not that great,
yeah.
right? So I figured that it wasn't fair to pick on English perpetrated by foreigners, either here or abroad. A lot of people sent in signs they had taken in foreign countries with English for tourists or whatnot. And, of course, some of it was pretty bad. But it's really like shooting ducks in a barrel to make fun of English used in foreign countries. That's really not fair.
Well, it's the same sort of thing that would happen to me if I were in Italy and I simply went to the dictionary and wrote out a sentence.
True.
It might be correct on some level, but Italians would laugh at me, I
True.
Would hope.
True.
And they have, in fact. by the way, there's a slideshow of our winners, and you can also see all of the entries that we received on our show page at WNYC.org. Should we take some calls?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go to our first caller, Matt from Kew Gardens. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to discuss my pet peeve, which involves the misuse of the word acronym. It seems that a lot of people are using the word acronym for any initialism.
Mm-hmm.
And according to my American heritage and the way I was taught, any abbreviation that uses the first initials of a word is an initialism, like IRS or USA, but only if it spells out a word, such as NATO, AWOL, or NAFTA, is it mm-hmm. an acronym.
True.
We have seen some pretty weird stretches where people have come up with, you know, citizens against blah, 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 just so they can call it the word can't or
right, exactly.
cart.
Right. And that does make it an acronym. But IRS or FBI, those are just initialisms. They aren't words.
But did you notice
them referred to as acronyms in major news magazines?
Oh,
and
sure.
Even as a clue on Jeopardy and people who should know better.
Oh, dear. Well, what are you going to do?
I like the fact that you start off with one of my pet peeves. So many people start off their mm-hmm. calls with one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
What do you think it is, Matt, about the language that leads people to have those kinds of pet peeves?
Oh, just some of us who care about the language. I mean, we've never gone so far as the French say to have some national institution to protect the language, although sometimes I think maybe we should.
Mm. Well, that has been proposed over the years, mostly in the 18th century. But those proposals never went anywhere. And I think the reason is because English is so welcoming of words in foreign languages and new formations, and we're so likely to be using Greek and Latin suffixes and prefixes to form new words all the time, and using verbs as nouns and nouns as verbs and adjectives and whatnot. And English lends itself to that it just wouldn't work in English.
There's also certain things jar. Mm-hmm. I heard a broadcaster the other day say, I used to live in Philadelphia a few years.
I used to live in Philadelphia a few years.
Yeah, right. He could say, I lived in Philadelphia for a few years.
Uh-huh. Or I used to live in Philadelphia.
But saying both.
Right.
Now,
there is
big
logic
deal.
To English.
Big deal. On the other hand, it bothered me, and I wish that mm-hmm. he had called me and I could have edited his copy.
Well, if he had done that in writing, he probably would have edited it himself.
Uh-huh. Should we take another call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Or should we go to a winner? Let's go to another
winner. Yeah, let's go to another winner.
Fourth place winner. Jean, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
And what was your entry, Jean?
It was a sign in the window of Brooklyn Hardware that says, we don't sell spray paint under 21 years old.
Ah. Oh, I do like that.
So I love the suggestion of vintage spray paint.
Vintage spray paint, exactly. I was just thinking
1989 was a great year. And it had that echo of the old Julio Gallo ad, you know, we'll sell no wine before the But unfortunately, when I was taking the picture, the store owner was very nervous, and I couldn't figure out why. And then later I realized maybe he thought I was the graffiti paint police, you know, making sure that he was upholding the graffiti paint laws.
Well, you will be receiving a special Art Spiegelman T-shirt, which was
fantastic.
Made for my 25th anniversary. And Art Spiegelman, as I'm sure you know, is a great artist, and the shirt is a lot of fun. And
thank
I expect
so
to see you walking by. Where is the Brooklyn Hardware store?
It's on Fifth Avenue in Park Slope.
Mm-hmm. I'm in that neighborhood
sometime.
And they also,
for years, had a sign that said, to the size we cut wood. But that one's gone.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And I'm going to put you on hold so that we can take your size.
All these listeners have such good eyes.
Yeah.
Four signs. It's wonderful.
Walter, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there, Lenny. I have two things to say. One is one of my pet peeves.
You have a pet peeve. Ah, good.
Snook.
You know, I used to have a pet cat.
Shoes. It drives me crazy, and I'm saying it in print. I'm hearing it on the news. I'm hearing even people, a retired English teacher, I heard her use it. I said, well, you know better, don't you?
What word?
So
what is
the white flag on snuck? Or do we still say sneaked?
Oh, snuck. Actually, snuck, I'm sorry to tell you this. It has snuck its way into the dictionary.
I hate it.
I know. You know, it's actually pretty old, though. It's been around for about 120 or 30 years now.
Yeah.
It was first used in the 1880s or so. It showed up at first in a newspaper. And it has caught on, and I think it's because in English we have a lot of formations of words that have their past tenses with a different sound than the present, like drive, drove, speak, spoke, weave, wove. So sneak, snuck was...
But you have others. For example, do you like he drug it down the road?
He drug it down the road. That's that's another one you'll see a lot of.
And speak, spoke.
Yes.
Weave, wove.
Yes.
So sneak, snuck.
Actually, I'm speaking to myself.
Do you like he drugged down the road?
We are hearing, by the way, you probably should have
delay.
Walter, I thought you had somebody else helping you there.
You know, we're hearing the tape delay.
Walter, could you turn up your radio? Driving me crazy. Is it
okay?
Well, anyway, I guess we're going to say goodbye to Walter. But there are any number of those.
Right.
Swum,
and another one that has cropped up is dive dove.
Mm-hmm.
Now, dove was a past tense hundreds of years ago, disappeared, and was recreated just because we have this impetus in English to make these kind of past tenses.
And people really want to make major distinctions, for example, whether something was hanged or hung,
uh-huh.
and whether a an outlaw was hanged or hung.
Right.
And whether a painting is hanged or hung.
Right. Actually, I remember an article in the New York Times once that described somebody's apartment as handsomely hanged with black and white photographs.
Whoa.
It does bring up visions of the gallows.
Yes. Maybe it was Joey Gallo's house.
Could be.
My guest is Patricia T. O'Connor, and we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Also talking to some of the winners of our contest, photographs of all sorts of misuses of the language. I almost said misnomers, because that's another word that people misuse all the time.
They do.
Misnomer. I don't know why they did that. Anyway, we'll be back right after this.
Oh, baby, what I'd give to hear those three little words. Man, that's such a wonderful phrase.
We're back with Patricia T. O'Connor, author of now 4 books on the language, plus a kid's version of one of the books.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to ask Pat a question and you can't get on the air here, you can email her directly at mailbox@grammarphobia.com. And you have fixed grammar so that even if people misspell it, they'll still get through to you?
Yes, that should happen now.
You can also click on Pat's blog to see a selection of language questions from WNYC listeners and also discussion of some of the more interesting aspects of the language. There are still things that we get calls on all the time. Please do not call about the whole nine yards, for example. But people are no matter how many times you talk about them and reveal that nobody knows, people still call in with all sorts of theories.
Yes, yes. And the fact is, some of these things can't be traced. They just have never been there's no evidence for where they came from. But some people cannot accept this.
Now, why is that? I would think that with people looking researching, for example, somebody came up with the first time the Big Apple was used to describe New York, and that cleared up a lot of confusion.
Right.
Why can't we find the whole nine yards?
Well, it probably will be found someday. It just hasn't yet. And I imagine the reason is when it was first used, it wasn't in the public prints. It was probably in some field. It may have been NASA. And it was used in as shop talk. And by the time it made its way into fiction and newspaper language and all this, we lost track of what nine yards of what.
Yeah, whether it was,
what was this?
Whether it was bullets or cement or
right or computer printout or
somebody else's sails.
Sails or a Rajah's sash. I mean, the yardage made to do a shroud. You know, it's that there are so many theories. It goes on and on and on and on.
But or maybe it's all the backyards on a block in Brooklyn.
Yes.
The whole nine yards. Let's take another call. Ken from New York. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. It's a delight to talk to you. I've been wondering if I could get my pet peeve validated about the changing use of one of my favorite words, fortuitous, which used to mean by chance.
Right.
And now it seems to be almost always fortunate.
Yes.
And so you would have been able to say fortuitously the pedestrian was hit by a bus.
Right.
But most people would be confused by that one now. And so you have recognized that as well.
Yes. Actually, I think in the second edition of my book, Woe Is I changed this. And I think you need to turn your radio off because we have an echo here.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'll
okay.
Do that.
But in the second edition of my book, I actually fixed the reference to fortuitous because it has had changed. It had taken on part of the meaning of fortunate.
Right.
So I think you'll find a lot of usage people now recommend that it means not only accidental, but happily accidental, or at least not unhappily.
Well, where does it come from? Why would it be accidental and be fortuitous?
Well,
because that sounds like fortunate, and that's why people are making
it. It sounded
connection.
Right. fortuitous just meant by chance,
mm-hmm.
a stroke of fortune, not necessarily good fortune. But over the years, it became confused with fortunate.
Because we don't use the word fortune as much, but we use fortunate more often.
Yes, we do.
And it also sounds highfalutin, too.
Yeah.
That's always good.
I have one word as a gift for you, pandiculate.
I hope it's clean.
Yeah, because the FCC is...
That's why it's one of my favorite words, because it just means yawning and stretching.
Oh, well, that's nice. So
right.
To pandiculate is to yawn and stretch.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'll just continue yawning and stretching.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Thank you so much for calling us.
Sure, thank you.
And let's go to another one of our winners. Ooh, Milt. Milt one is a third place winner. Milt, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard. Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
And Milt, what was your winning photo?
Well, I was walking in Rye Town Park along Long Island Sound shore. And there's a sign that said, "Warning, jellyfish may be present by order of the Rye Town Park Commission." So I know they meant well to warn you of the danger and so on, but
they think they can order.
You should have given them a stinging rebuke.
Yes. I always imagined the jellyfish waiting in Great Neck Harbor for the park commissioner to order them to advance to Rye Beach. You know?
I just love it. I love it. Well, you know, you are the winner of a special Art Spiegelman T-shirt, which was made for my 25th anniversary.
Well, thank you.
And you can wear it while you're walking along the shore.
I will. I will indeed.
And is anybody aware of the fact that that sign is hilarious? Has it been pointed out to the...
I pointed it out to other people. I'm glad you saw the humor in it because nobody else does.
They don't.
No. Well,
maybe it's a thing about living in Rye.
Well, my family gets it. But
thank you so much, Milt. I'm going to put you on hold now.
You'd think they'd have a Rye sense of humor.
Ooh, that's good. Maybe it's too Rye. Craig from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Enjoying the show. My, I guess we're using the term pet peeve right now, is what I think is the misuse of begs the question. I'd like to clarify if I'm correct.
Well, we get a lot of calls on this one.
Yeah, and I think you'll find it on the website, actually. A long explanation about beg the question, what it really means, what it doesn't mean, and how it came to be so screwed up.
Mm.
But yeah, it's never used correctly. And I think as a result, we've kind of lost that expression. But there is an explanation of it among the Q&As on the website.
Luann from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to clarify something that I do think I understood, that you guys had a conversation a couple of years ago about this. I thought I understood Patricia to explain that it wasn't, in fact, the Americans that changed our accent different from the British, but that the British at some point in history changed their accent and that they used to speak like us. And
well,
not,
yeah.
I don't remember how you said that happened, and I haven't been able to verify, you know, like look it up to clarify.
Oh, there is a book by a woman named Linda, Lynda, Muggleston, Mugglestone. It's a rather academic book, but it's called Talking Proper, and it's about the evolution of the British accent. But at any rate, I'm not saying the British used to sound just as we do.
Right.
What happened
we
is
there are
certain markers of the British accent, the broad A, paused instead of passed, the dropped R at the end, the dropped penultimate syllable in words like secretary and military. A number of those markers only came into the British speech between about 1790 and 1820. A lot of linguists have done work on this, and it was remarked about at the time. People wrote about it at the time it was happening. A lot of Brits, in fact, thought the language was being corrupted because of this.
And hasn't there also been a class distinction made? For example, mm-hmm. things like Trumbly, which are spelled Chugglebubbly.
Right.
Very definitely became kind of codes. If you knew how to pronounce it, you were upper class, and if you didn't, you were lower class.
Exactly. Yes.
So it wasn't just to distinguish themselves from us lowly colonials, but also to distinguish from one class from the other in England.
Yes, and to distinguish themselves from both provincial and the poor or Cockney Londoners.
Huh.
So,
interesting. Okay, I thought that I heard you guys discuss that on the show, and I've since, you know, repeated it to people, and of course everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, Patricia and Leonard said it.
Right, it's and true. Actually Stuart and I have a chapter about British usage in which we discuss that in our book Origins of the Specious.
Okay.
Copiously footnoted.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
And let's go to our second place winner, Kurt. Hi, you're on the air.
I am.
Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Leonard.
And what was your winning entry?
Oh, potable water, not for drinking.
What? Why were they bothering?
I know.
Where was this, Kurt?
This was in sort of like those mobile bathrooms that film crews get to use to see the tractor trailers around town.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they meant? Obviously, they meant not potable water.
You know, probably the same thing that the people that saw inflammable and thought that they were safe.
Right.
So did you photograph it in one of those trailers?
I did. It was in the bathroom sink.
Uh-huh.
I didn't drink the water.
Yeah, good. Well, congratulations. It's a great spot.
Oh,
and we're going to give you a special Art Spiegelman T-shirt made for my 25th anniversary. Thank you so much for entering, and that is hilarious.
Unless you drank it.
Let's go to a caller who didn't get to send in an entry, but has one sign to talk about. Hi, Ward. Ward from Brooklyn?
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay. What is it?
I was passing a beauty shop on Nostrand Avenue in Brooklyn and noticed that they were having an offer for an unlimited time only. I've never forgotten. It was many years ago, but I had...
must have been run by quantum mechanics.
Oh, it
so
reminds me.
Precious.
Well, it reminds me of there. We had so many good entries that didn't win, but that one that Ward just mentioned reminds me of the store in the Bronx that's called 99 cents or more. And what's more, in smaller type, there's a section called 99 cents or less.
Mm-hmm.
So that about covers all the bases. It's kind of like for an unlimited time only.
Thank you for calling us. We go now to David from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, how are you? I edit and publish a newspaper in Brooklyn, Bay Current, but one thing I still always seem to have trouble with is when you say, when you refer to group, if you say like a group of scientists are coming to New York or is coming to New York, you know, does it refer to the scientists or does it refer to the group?
Wouldn't you say is coming?
I would say is. Yeah.
Because the group is really the subject of that sentence.
True. Group here is a collective noun, and it's one thing. And so we generally use a singular with it. But I think there are gray areas.
We have problems with teams, for example.
Yes, yes. For instance, the Beatles was a rock group, but you wouldn't say the Beatles
are.
The Beatles is playing next week. You know, that kind of thing. So collective nouns are interesting, and we treat them differently than the British do.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another Leonard. Boy, so many Leonards today. Leonard from Forest Hills. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This concerns something that Kierkegaard wrote. He said they were walking down the street, and they came to a shop, and it said, suits cleaned and pressed hair, 75 cents. So he got all excited, ran home, came back, got all his suits, only to discover that it was a shop that sold signs.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
That made Soren sore, right?
Well, I wasn't there in Kierkegaard, but that was the
It changed
story.
The course of literature, that anecdote.
Okay, well, thank you for your call. And let's take another call. Tony from Sayville. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. The word that kind of has I've thought about all the time is reticent. And to mm-hmm. me, at one time, it meant not given to speak readily, but it
yes.
seems to be used frequently now as hesitant. He was mm-hmm. reticent to get on the bus, for example.
Yeah, that's as far as I know, that's still considered a misuse. Reticent, reticent means silent or someone who doesn't speak much. And it's related to the word taciturn,
okay,
which means silent or not speaking much. So reticent is means someone who's quiet, like a Gary Cooper type.
Okay.
Now, people mix it up with reluctant, and I think that's where the confusion came in. It doesn't mean reluctant.
It does drive me nuts.
Yeah, so people use it to mean reluctant. Misuse, as far as I know. I mean, wonderful. I don't think it's become accepted yet. Who knows, though? Maybe in time.
Next edition of the dictionary, perhaps.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you can ask Pat a question by emailing her directly at mailbox@grammarphobia.com. And you can click on Pat's blog to see a selection of language questions from WNYC listeners. You have 4 books out there now in print. Are you working on a fifth?
Well, actually, there are 5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And We aren't currently working on a sixth.
You say we, you and Stuart, your
husband. Stuart and I, and 2 of the books are just now coming out in paperback.
Meanwhile, we can look forward to seeing you again on August 18th.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for being with us, and thanks all for entering.